Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock. River views, outdoor dining, live music, and overnight accommodations. Visit graftonloadingdock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on a Saturday, and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
We're seeing what's happening with inflation. We're seeing the insulting way they're treating parents, calling us domestic terrorists for taking an interest in our kids' education. On issue after issue after issue, the Democrats are out of step with the American people. But now we're hurting. People are actually hurting. They cannot buy things that they want. They can't afford it. This is having a huge impact on families, and that's why you're seeing this pessimism and a shift, which you're seeing in Virginia, a blue state, where Republicans have a real chance, not just with the governor, but to pick up the majority in the legislature there.
So that was the RNC chair, Ronna McDaniel, talking about where the leadership is. The leadership is, of course, the Democrats right now, in conjunction with the American people. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. You are listening to us here on 97.1 FM Talk, or maybe you're streaming us on the Odyssey app or watching us on our Facebook page, our YouTube page, or one of those places we're streaming. Wherever you are joining us from, we're thankful for it. So thanks for choosing us on a Tuesday afternoon. It's kind of going to be the overarching question for today. And we've got a really great show lined up for you. Ryan Fournier, who you may know as the founder for Students for Trump and has been a mover and a shaker amongst young people, very, very prominent on Twitter. He's going to join us at 12:25. So in about less than 20 minutes, 15 minutes from now or so, we're going to speak with Ryan kind of about how the Republican Party going forward, what is it going to look like and how are they going to espouse the ideals of conservatism in a way that gets people's attention? Brad, you're a major Twitterer, and if people want to follow you, they can follow you at Range Brad on Twitter. You follow Ryan?
I do.
What's your impression of him as somebody who's seen him on social media?
Well, I follow so much of him that, well, so many people that I don't always get everything that he says. So, like, in the beginning when I first got on Twitter, I really liked him, which is why I followed him. But lately, I haven't gotten much put on my feed.
Yeah.
So, and I know you had talked about this before. You don't follow particular, get alerts for particular people. Whenever I need to get alerts for particular people, if I want to hear what they're saying, I have to turn those on now. I have just so many people.
I don't. There is nobody who I get a notification from tweeting. I know there'd be people in my life like, oh, you got to turn the notifications on for Trump when he tweets. I'm like, no, I don't. I really don't have to do that. But regardless, Ryan Fournier he's young. He's conservative. He's outspoken. He has made a living about representing a demographic in the Republican Party that I think is overlooked. I think that right now, more than any time in my lifetime, save maybe the fact that I was alive when Ronald Reagan was president, born in 1984, I think there was an element of coolness to being conservative. And you see these Reagan-Bush T-shirts that people wear around these days. But when you combine in with the counterculture way that conservatism, it's kind of the punk thing to do right now. When you hear these chants everywhere you go, and especially in places where, you know, these are younger audiences, these are apolitical audiences, these are people who are not participating in these types of events where these chants are going on because of politics. They're there to watch a sporting event, or they're there to participate in something else, and all of a sudden it becomes a political statement. I think that this has become kind of punk. To put people in a position in apolitical scenes and be making these very political statements. That reporter who at that race, which race was that?
It was a NASCAR, not the big car, not the, it used to be Nextel.
What did you say you race?
I raced.
You did?
I raced quarter midgets.
Yeah, it just still sounds inappropriate.
Anyway.
But I guess it's a real thing.
Yeah, it would be the equivalent of the minor leagues of NASCAR is what that race was at. And that was actually that kid's first win. And it's like a small family-owned outfit.
Babylon B had a great article. It's like, liberal father of Brandon struggles with how to cheer for son at sporting event. Let's go, Brandon. Son, you go get them. You're seeing it everywhere.
They're going to help kick this thing off. All right, guys, ready? In 3, 2, 1.
Drivers, start your engines.
Let's go, Brandon.
What in the world
you
is that?
You should have seen that guy's face, because the video is even better than the audio. Because, like, it happens, and then there's a long silence where he's kind of, like, looking at the camera like, I don't know what to do.
Does the child know what the child is saying?
I am certain the child knows what the child is saying.
My kids wouldn't know.
Your kids wouldn't, but this kid knew what he was saying.
My kids are very aware that things like that exist.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, what's Let's Go, Brandon? I mean, don't worry about it. Go play outside.
It's none of your business.
I struggle with that because you can't avoid politics today. You can't. It's everywhere. It's part of everything. I mean, right there, that was a race too?
Yeah, that was a race.
You can't avoid it. So are my kids going to be exposed to it? Of course they're going to be exposed to it. They have kids at school who will make political comments. And, you know, one time they were at a different event with kids that were their age, and someone said something like, Donald Trump's the real president. Joe Biden cheated. And I go, what evidence do you have of that, child? Because if you can't explain it, don't be taking these opinions and espousing them to people, because guess what? People are going to hate you. And you're a child. You're not supposed to know this stuff. So I always ask my kids, I always say things like, if they have a political question, I'll talk to them about it. But if they make a bold political statement, I'm like, explain yourself. If you can explain why you have this opinion, you can continue to have this opinion. But if you're just repeating something somebody else said, shut your mouth.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up like schools and stuff like that. And that's kind of one of the things that I was thinking about earlier in this conversation. Whenever you were talking about like there's this counterculture, it's become punk. It was, what was it, the Michael P. Keaton? Is that who he was, the Reagan supporter on sitcom?
Mm-hmm.
But I was
Family
subbing.
Ties.
Yep. I was subbing at high school, and I was seeing kids at football games wearing Trump flags as capes.
Yeah,
and,
because Trump is a punk.
Right.
And it's a rebellious thing to do to like Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the easy thing to do to hate him.
Now, that was 4 years ago. Now those kids are in college. You know,
at football games.
At
yelling,
football
Let's
games.
Go Brandon.
Still not liking the current administration, which is crazy. But It is. It's a countercultural movement, and it's something that I didn't ever think that I would see with the Republican Party, because the Republican Party has always been very straight-laced. But that's the nature of culture, right? It swings one way until everything that's popular is no longer popular because you want to be countercultural.
Think about every corner of the entertainment industry. Every corner, you know, entertainment. News is entertainment. The cable news is informative, persuasive entertainment. Everywhere kids these days go is pushing some sort of political, cultural, or social narrative. Has that always been the case? I'm in my late 30s. Maybe I'm just finally arriving at the place where I'm realizing this. But you can't go anywhere, do anything, without there having to be some sort of instance of very judgy expectation that's put on these kids. This Randy Weingarten person who's the president of the American Federation of Teachers, she knows exactly what she's doing. That's the thing that frustrates me. There was a Washington Post article? Was it Washington Post? I'm pulling it up here. A Washington Post article, and she shared it out, and she's like, oh, this is really, really fantastic information that people need to read. And it was an article that was written with the headline, Perspective. Parents claim they have the right to shape their kids' school curriculum. They don't. And of course, it's on the Washington Post, and I can read it on my laptop. It got blocked because I apparently am so tired of this. Like, we have to look at 8,000 ads when we want to read an article in your newspaper, but then you put a paywall up. I'm not paying you, so now I'm not looking at your ads either. Is this what you want? They know what their economic model, and this is apparently what they think is good. But I'm just going to read a line here from this Washington Post, written by Jack Schneider and Jennifer Berkshire. The headline is, parents claim they have the right to shape their kids' school curriculum. They don't. From the article, the, quote, paranoid style, end quote, of politics is particularly useful as a mechanism for organizing opposition, and the Republicans employing it right now have two particular targets in mind. The first is the public education system, which hardliners have long sought to undermine. At the annual cost of nearly $750 billion, tuition-free open enrollment education represents one of the nation's most substantial commitments to the public good. But well before Ronald Reagan's failed effort to introduce vouchers in the 1980s, conservatives were making the case for a privatized system, one in which families, not taxpayers, would bear the cost of education, and governance would happen through the free market rather than democratic politics. In recent years, this vision has come roaring back. Conservative legislatures across the United States have introduced bills creating education savings accounts, private school tuition tax credits, and other forms of neo-vouchers that package old ideological wine in new bottles. Well, I know that that was written in a way that's supposed to make me hate it, but I actually love it more when you put it that way. Washington Post. This was shared as from the president of the teachers union, the AFT. This was shared as, you know, just an understanding to folks that parents don't really have the right to shape their kids' school curriculum. And when you listen to that paragraph there and you understand that what this author doesn't like is the threat of families, not taxpayers, influencing what happens in education. Well, who the hell is supposed to influence this if it's not the people who's in charge of the students who are in the classroom? And families are taxpayers. So it's not to suggest that if families are going to be the ones who are funding this, that that takes taxpayers out of it, because in fact, those families are taxpayers. It's not exclusive. What this means here is that the institution itself is under threat. And I, for one, applaud it. And I hope it goes further, because guess what? School choice would be the best thing for our students of every walk of life. You want to help low-income areas? School choice is the best way to show those kids an opportunity to get out of the cycle that their family has been in for generations. And you know who else school choice would help? You know who else would benefit from the idea of competitive education? The teachers who teach in a system that does not reward good teaching and does not punish bad teaching. It says you have a finish line to get to. It's called tenure. And then you coast. I'll tell you something right now. I got to go to a break. But this is something that's been really chafing me. In the state of Illinois, I don't know if this is happening everywhere else, but in the state of Illinois, this is veto session right now in Springfield. The teachers' union wants to employ 4 educators. It's like 10 or 13, maybe more, COVID days that educators get to use in place of sick days, so that if they have to stay at home and quarantine, or if somebody in their family, so I've got 4 kids, if my husband had to stay at home and quarantine or whatever, that these teachers would get to use COVID days and not sick days to accommodate and pay for that time off. Do you know what that means? That means those sick days don't get used. And do you know that educators get to tack on all of their unused sick days? I believe they get to accumulate up to 180 sick days. Those are work days. That doesn't count weekends. 180 sick days that they can accumulate over the course of their career, tack it on to the end of their career. So if they get to go up a step, they get to make more money when they retire, and that's what their pension is based on. And we've got teachers who get to retire in their 50s if they want to. And that pension lasts until they die with a 3% guaranteed cost of living increase. Now the teachers' unions want to say, no, we don't want them to have to use their sick days. It's not because they don't want to use sick days. It's because they're banking their sick days so that they can retire with them down the road. Why am I not a teacher? That was my first mistake. That gig over there, educators, it's a good gig. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Ryan Fournier, founder of Students for Trump, will join us here on the Annie Fry Show.
When I'm lonely. Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey guys, thanks for letting me come in your classroom.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. And Mr. President, you ought to talk to me about the presidency. You know, when you're president, see all these people here? They're with you all the time. They get to ask you all kinds of questions, and you try to figure out how you can avoid answering them sometimes.
So President Biden walking into a classroom there with some children, and he makes this joke at the end saying, talking about avoiding the press. In truth and fairness, that's what every politician does, is try to manipulate the press so that they can only use the press when they want it to look good for themselves and to avoid the questions you don't want. So that's like a funny haha joke, except for the fact that he actually doesn't talk to any press. He doesn't take random questions. He takes approved questions from a list. The more concerning thing is he walks into this classroom, looks at these kids, and he says, "Mr. President," and then he kind of stumbles into you kids are going to talk to me about the presidency. It's like somebody told him what he needs to do, and it just didn't translate right when it comes out. And this is really par for the course with President Biden. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy to have you here. The state of the Democrats' control of our government right now, it's in disarray, and we see this on a regular basis. But we're moving into a 2022 election year. The Republicans are going to have to do something to consolidate people who are looking at this Democratic Party and saying, this is not for me anymore. Somebody who's working on this on a regular basis, Ryan Fournier. He's on with us right now. He is the founder of Students for Trump. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on to the show with us today. It's great to have you here.
Great to be back, Annie.
Thank you. So let me ask you, as a founder of Students for Trump, you have since moved on to expand into other things right now. But you're a young guy. I mean, relative to the field of politics, you're a young guy who's a mover and a shaker out there with a conservative perspective and ideology. Do you see people out there right now looking at this administration and maybe reconsidering the proneness that they may have towards a more liberal mindset?
I mean, 100%. I mean, these poll numbers are indicative of that, and it should scare people, especially if you are a Biden supporter, to see these poll numbers even coming from their side, where he's down in the low 40s and high 30s in terms of approval ratings. I mean, one of the polls that I just saw came out from Axios Ipsos poll was that compared to January of 2021, overall, in his ability or confidence to ensure a quick post-pandemic economic recovery has dropped like by over 18% with the Democrats. I mean, they are starting to realize that, okay, well, maybe Biden wasn't the guy to get us over the hump, right? And now you're seeing it. You're seeing it with the economy. You're seeing it with our border, the rising inflation, the crisis with our shipping, our supply chain. I mean, it's affecting everyone, not just the top tier earners in this country.
So, Ryan, let me ask you this. We've had during the Trump administration, we had our villains and we had our heroes. And it just, it was a different details, but the same story every day, every week of that administration. Obviously, Donald Trump was the alpha villain.
Right.
One of the heroes has been Dr. Fauci. Throughout the course of the pandemic coming onto the scene here in the United States, up until now, he is still lauded by many people on the left. There's been some unsavory information that has come out about him recently that might be his downfall. What do you think about Dr. Fauci and his future here as a predictable hero for the left?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that we saw with Cuomo. They thought that this guy was going to be, to replace Biden and become the nominee for the party. He won a Grammy award for this. I mean, it's ridiculous. To look at Fauci and then to understand also kind of, when you lift the veil of what they're doing, they got these projects that they're funding. And the photos are horrifying where, they're putting these beagles They're locking their heads in cages while hordes of hungry sandflies eat at them. It's disgusting that, you know, taxpayer money is going to this. And then another story came out where they're doing psychological torture experiments on monkeys, where they're giving them brain damage and they're practicing the psychological torture with fake snakes and fake spiders. Come to find out, Annie, since 2007, we've spent over $100 million in taxpayer funding on this type of stuff that he's directly in charge of. The buck stops him. Even though it's in a division, he is supposed to know all of what's going on. I mean, they expect the president. Right. So why can't we expect that the same of Fauci to take some responsibility here now, knowing that all this stuff is happening in the malfeasance? This, you know, this is just a segment of it. The malfeasance we saw with the handling of COVID.
Yeah. We're speaking with Ryan Fournier. He's the founder of Students for Trump. You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan A. Fournier. I think about these stories that I've seen. I'm a dog lover, a pet lover myself. I can't even read all of the details that have come out of these studies that have been taxpayer funded that Dr. Fauci has been involved in. They're horror stories. And it sounds like a Babylon Bee article about something that would be suggested that Donald Trump does, like on a Tuesday afternoon, you know, like how ridiculous these stories are. This is actual stuff that's happened. And it's to somebody who the left has anointed. And it just makes me wonder, is any of this going to stick in the future, moving into 2022, where people are looking at who's in charge? They're watching their freedoms get ticked off, one after the other in the name of provided governmental security. Does this translate into action where people put new folks in charge?
Right. And I think it does here, Annie, because, you know, there's now such a thing as Bidenflation, where if you look at prices from November 3rd, election day to now, you're seeing poultry up 33%. Propane is up 162%. Sugar up 34%. Coffee up 100%.
Wow.
And just today, in case anyone didn't hear this already, oil and gas prices just hit a new 7-year high. Now you get warnings of hyperinflation, the average gas price. In November 3rd was like $2.20. Now it's $3.40 a gallon. This is scary stuff. You know, I know Ron Klein said a comment the other day, basically, or endorsed that tweet, saying that, you know, inflation is only something that the upper class dealt with, and that it's transitionary in so many ways. Well, that's not the case. And I think people need to understand that it's costing the American people an extra $175 a month now, which is sort of like an in-kind tax if you think about it. And now they want to start going after capital gains and taxing money that you don't even have yet, right? And this has a real-world effect. And now they're even talking about mortgage rates going up as well. So, I mean, all these things have an effect on the average American person. It's not just the top 1% or the top earners in this country. You're seeing it on the shelves at the grocery stores. You're seeing really nothing on some of the shelves at the grocery stores.
True.
This is unprecedented, and something has to be done. You cannot elect this guy again. This is what we're dealing with together as a country, and I think it's going to wake a lot of people up.
We're speaking with Ryan Fournier here. You know, we can look and go through the list of current, you know, status quo for the Biden administration. It looks like an unmitigated disaster from our end. Do the people on the left look at what the Biden administration has been able to, air quotes, accomplish so far and what he could potentially accomplish in the future? Is it possible that they're looking at this going, no, he's doing fantastic. We're glad he's there.
No, it's actually the opposite. The Democrats are becoming very angry with him because I think what he believed was that he could unite this fractured party, the Democrat Party. You know, the truth be told is they're more divided than us. Sure, we have a few Republicans who don't like Trump, but they have an ideological divide unlike anything else, where you have these AOCs and Ilhan Omars and Nancy Pelosi's and Bernie Sanders who all want something different, but they're not going to get it. Biden can't unite them, and so he's realizing very quickly that he's having to cut so many pieces of his agenda that he made promises on, and they don't like that. He's in a pickle of a situation dealing with these guys while everything else is happening. I just can't see him making any meaningful impacts, leaps or bounds here in the next couple of years. I mean, we're not even a year in yet,
yeah.
Annie, and we're seeing this travesty happening in this country. This is going to resonate with voters in negative ways against Biden in 2022. I'm putting money on it.
Ryan is the founder for Students for Trump. You know, there's questions surrounding whether he's going to run again in 2024. We've got a massive undertaking here in 2022 to take care of before we answer that Trump question in the next presidential election. How do you see the Republican Party coming together in the way that they're going to need to do to defeat the Democrats with the Trump question still being out there? Everybody has an opinion on President Trump. Nobody is undecided on him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of this stuff packaged together, everyone's read the news. It's depressing to see it every single day. But Republicans have or couldn't have the easiest platform to run on right now than what they have. I mean, they have a failing president, a failing administration that can't really figure out or get their hand or their finger on the pulse. And that's meaningful to voters. Voters care about that kind of stuff. And so if Trump and the Republicans, if they stay on this path of offering solutions to these crises, they're not going to have any trouble whatsoever in 22, and that'll open the floodgates for 24. The bottom line is there's a lot of Democrats who look at this and they're upset. They think that they wasted their vote. Sure, they didn't like Trump for certain things he said, but their life wasn't the way it is right now. And I think that when you start seeing travesty after travesty on television, from Afghanistan to the supply chain crisis to the shortage of toys for Christmas for kids, that upsets parents, that upsets a lot of people, it affects lives, and that's the type of righteous indignation that you see that leads people to the polls in instances like this. So I definitely think we're going to see a big, big red wave in 22 because these guys cannot seem to get this under control.
Well, people can continue to follow you on Twitter at Ryan A. Fournier. And we're grateful that you spent some time with us here today, Ryan. Thank you so much. It's good to speak with you.
Good to speak with you too, Annie. Thank you guys again.
Yep, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Ryan Fournier there, the founder of Students for Trump. And I got to say that seeing younger people, and, you know, when I say young, what do you think, when you think of a Republican in Congress, I mean, you're probably thinking of a 65-year-old plus individual. There are a lot of people in Congress who are not, you know, collecting Social Security age quite yet. But there is a wave of people who are younger, who are millennials, who are actively pursuing getting that message of conservatism out there to other people who are millennials or younger. And I am always grateful for the opportunity to give them a platform here. Quick break. When we come back, we have in the 1 o'clock hour, Jim Carafano is going to join us, which is exciting because he's been on a vacay for a couple of weeks. And then Jason Chaffetz is going to be with us at 1:25. I'm hosting a Vitae Foundation event on Thursday with Jason Chaffetz, who will be here in town. If you want to check out and see if there are tickets left for that, you can go to adsforlife.org. I'm not 100% sure if there are, but adsforlife.org. So you can hear Jason Chaffetz speak on Thursday night, and I'll be there as well. And then at 2 o'clock, we have the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, joins us. He has joined Eric Schmidt, your attorney general here in the state of Missouri, suing the Biden administration to force them to continue to build that border wall. Full show here for you on the Annie Fry Show. Come join us on the live stream on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. We'll be right back. There is a way that this studio that I'm standing in right now could be perfectly organized. A place for everything and everything in its place. And I just can't arrive at that location yet. So you've been here for, what, 2 months? Oh, September, oh, going on. 6 weeks, 7 weeks, something like that. Brad, do you have your flow, your setup over there where everything is where you want? Are you constantly
over here?
Yeah.
No, I'm still adjusting.
I mean, I spent 18 months out of the studio between COVID and maternity leave. So I don't have my flow quite down here yet. I like the way it is right now. I did in the first segment knock my coffee over. There's only a little bit left in it that I cleaned up on the floor, which we just had the floor shampooed. But I think it did a pretty good job. I just need to have things where it's hard to go back and get resettled. How many people are dealing with this right now? If you're starting to go back or maybe doing a hybrid version of your work, do you care? And I've seen a lot of places too. I know in our industry specifically, there are people who are creating shared workspaces So maybe you come in Mondays and Mondays and Wednesdays, and someone comes in Tuesdays and Thursdays.
It's like hot bunking.
How do you what?
Hot bunking. So
is this something in midget racing?
No, quarter midget racing.
Is that different?
But yeah, it's different because they're smaller. It's only fourth the size of a full size midget.
So there is midget racing.
Yes, my grandpa used to race those.
I'm learning so much. So,
but hot bunking is what they do on Navy ships whenever there's not enough bunk space for the number of crew. So you and another person share a same bunk. Usually on like submarines and stuff.
Hot
like that.
Bunking.
Yeah, and
does
they call
not sound appropriate.
Well, it's because whenever that person gets up for their shift and you lay down in the bunk,
it's hot.
It's still hot.
You share sheets?
I think so.
Gross.
We would have to have like some Navy people confirm on the stream.
I'm pretty sure that submarine life is not for me.
It is not for me.
I have a dear family friend who spent an inordinate amount of time. For me, that would be any amount of time. But he works on nuclear submarines. And the stuff that he's told me that if I repeated here, I'd probably say it wrong, so I'm not going to mm-hmm. attempt to. But just knowing that we have these subs just like floating around the globe, just waiting to nuke people.
Yeah.
It makes me feel kind of good inside. I'm going to be honest. Is that weird? I don't know.
No, that's not weird. That's, you know, speak softly and carry a big stick, I think is what the thing is. Like, so we're not going to
carry a big submarine.
Yeah. We're not going to have people mess with us because they know that the response would be swift and devastating as well. And so we just kind of, what do they call it in the Westerns? A Mexican standoff where everybody's pointing at one another?
It's probably racist.
It probably is, but I don't mean it in that way. I mean it
is
in...
Is it Mexican standoff?
I think it is.
But this is where I look at my stream and 30 people at the same time say this is what it is.
So anyway, but I have a lady who used to go to our church that her son spent a lot of time on nuclear submarines.
It's crazy, a crazy existence. You gotta know a crazy amount of things, and then you've got to participate in a submarine. Oh my gosh, I couldn't.
Like one of the things that fascinates me is like their floor is where they store the food. So like the cans, you walk across the cans, and so you get more headroom as the journey goes on because they take the cans out and use them.
What?
So the canned goods for the food?
Oh. They're just saying like the can. Gotta like, go to the can.
Talk about space like, and organization. They've got that down to a science. But yeah. I wouldn't, you know, you and I are each too tall to work on a submarine.
I'm pretty sure my friend's 5'8".
I still think that's too tall, but
I mean, is there a restriction?
No.
I was gonna say it's kinda up to
no,
the person.
But they probably
right?
walk around hunched down a lot.
It just seems, what is it, The Hunt for Red October?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that movie. It's a really good movie from what everybody suggests, but it's just like, oh man, that stresses me out. I'm claustrophobic. This is what claustrophobic is. I don't like small spaces, but I also don't like the sense of not feeling like I have control of my situation. Like I want to know, what are my escape routes? And I'm somebody who will walk into a room and subconsciously just kind of inventory what's where and how I would get out. And I don't know if I did that before I had children. But once I had children, I just started being more aware of my surroundings. And oh my gosh, I cannot think of any place I would rather be less than a submarine.
Well, you don't have escape routes in submarines.
That's, yeah, I know. That's the point.
Hey, when you go into a restaurant, do you like sit where you can see the door?
I don't care about that.
See, that's something that I always have to do is like sit where I can see the door and then I know where the fire exits are.
But no, I don't. Not so much that. It's more of just like public places where I was in my husband and I went to a bragging rights football game at the Edward Jones Dome. And Mizzou was playing Illinois, and out in the concourse, it was before the game started, you know, you have an established flow of traffic at a public place like that. You walk on the right side, so whichever direction you're heading, you're on the right side. And then there's the middle ground there where you might have people trying to cross the concourse, across a flow of traffic. That had not been established, and it was wall-to-wall people. And I was probably, that game probably was in what, October, November maybe? So I was seven, eight months pregnant at the time with my son. And that was the first time that I ever went into having near or maybe actually having what I would refer to as a panic attack, because people were just pushing against each other. Nobody was getting anywhere, and people started to get upset, and there was alcohol involved. And I'm in a crowd of people where, you know, I could see around. I'm 5'8". I could see around, but I couldn't see out. And I was in the middle of this space, and my husband went full on husband dad mode, and just like, it was probably the best blocking that took place in the Edward Jones Dome that day. And I followed my blocker right out of this thing, but he was relocating people to get me out of there. He's a good guy. It's kind of sexy. Way to go, Jared. You get into a situation where you don't have control, and you can see in a crowd of people that the tensions are starting to get high. That gets bad real fast.
Yeah.
And yeah. You're, what are you, 6 feet tall?
I wish. I'm 5'11".
5'11", just, you know, stretch the spine.
But keep telling me I'm 6 foot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 5'8", and you seem taller than me. But you're probably of a height where you can kind of survey enough if you're in a crowd of people. That's a really frightening thing. And we see now, since then, I mean, that was probably, 12 years ago, we have seen crowds get out of hand. You ever look back on situations like that and just like apply COVID to it and be like, whoa?
No, I try not to do that. But
it's a very bizarre thing to go back and think, you know, wow, we were in a crowd of people, but I wasn't like worried about a communicable disease. And it was flu season. And honestly, now that I think about it, I think that was in 2009, because I think I was pregnant with my son. And if it was my son, that was when swine flu was a really big deal. And swine flu was killing pregnant women. So it was a really big deal. So I apparently get pregnant during pandemics. Who knew? H1N1. It was a thing. And then Ebola was in there somewhere. That Ebola, that's some scary stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the ones that kept me up at night.
That's a different can of worms than these respiratory flu-like diseases. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Jim Carafano is going to join us. And I'm going to ask him, do you know there's a new migrant caravan headed toward our southern border? They're all coming here, and they say it because of President Biden. What's Jim Carafano going to say about that? I have an idea. Also at 125, Jason Chaffetz on The Andy Fry Show. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!